The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill on the environment. Pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening?
That man is fading fast, and it's sad to see, and it's also something that's quite dangerous when you consider what's happening in the world. Of course, there's a lot happening right here in the United States. We discuss that every day. But the nations that are extreme and radical and sponsoring terrorism, they're gaining strength, and they're watching this. They're watching this just like the rest in America are watching it. And even though, as I said yesterday, there's a protective circle around the fake president because of the communists and the media, the world is seeing, they're seeing it live play out, just like you and I are. And they know something is terribly wrong. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. It's hard to believe we're already here to the last program of the week, but you don't want to forget about the weekend edition. I came today with more notes than I can get through, so I'm sure I'll use a fair bit of that in the program we record later this afternoon for the weekend show that's posted every Sunday at around midday. And, of course, it plays live over the air in Phoenix, Arizona on KFNX, and we broadcast it over our radio station here as well. But above all, just go to the website, thetrumpet.com, to get the posting of the weekend edition of The Trumpet Daily. Through the week, of course, we broadcast not only at our website, but also on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3, on that platform that takes the audio of this show into 11 million homes around the country. But if you want to get to the video presentation of this program, you go to our website, thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get the live stream at 11 a.m. every weekday, 11 a.m. Oklahoma time, 9 a.m. out west, and of course noon on the East Coast and at different times if you're one of our many listeners tuning in from around the world. I thought I'd just make one comment regarding Celtic Throne. They performed last night, by the way, in Memphis, Tennessee, in front of 350 enthusiastic viewers of that wonderful, wonderful production. We don't, unfortunately, have audio feedback from the show last night. We weren't there to capture that. But hopefully we'll get some from the remaining shows that we have coming up. This concludes their 9-day road trip. The production, the cast, the crew, they're on their way back to Edmond even as we speak. And then we'll be heading out again first thing Monday morning to go to Little Rock, Arkansas for the show on Monday night. I mentioned yesterday, just when talking about this production, how positive, how uplifting it is, and how needed it is in this very dark world, this very dark and evil and filthy world in so many ways, this dangerous world, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. And we got this email back from the hotel manager in Nashville, where our young people and their parents stayed for, I think they were there for 4 or 5 days. That was sort of the bulk of the 9-day trip, this Nashville hotel that they were in. And this hotel manager wrote to us yesterday saying, I have to say that during my 25 years in the hospitality industry, I have never hosted a more behaved, friendly, and respectful group. please, please, it says, come back to see us. Please come back to see us. Now that says a lot, not just about the production, but the people performing and the family supporting it. And it makes you think of what we say at the middle part of the show, Jordan Saranga, when he talks about how much of a family production it is and how needed that is in this upside down world, just to show people something that not that long ago would have been viewed as normal. Normal. Today it stands out because we're living in a world filled with all kinds of abnormalities. As I say, an upside down world. This is an email that came in from one of our Celtic Throne mothers. She's actually been on the tour supporting the production and her children. And she says here, thank you for covering the feedback from the crowd at the Ryman Auditorium. It's been an absolute privilege to be part of the show. One thing that has really stood out to me is the response of the crowd. When we are out and about, most people look miserable and unhappy. But when they get to experience Celtic Throne, they come out of the auditorium with beaming, joyous faces. I feel like we are the modern-day David playing the harp for Saul, giving the world respite from their enslavement. What power we have access to, and how exciting to know it'll soon be spread worldwide. It says the lasting impression Celtic Throne will have is worth the hours of labor from all of the directors, dancers, and crew members. It says, thank you for your involvement, encouragement, and lack of sleep. Well, I'm not the only one. A lot of people are really pouring their hearts into this production, and it's just great to see the positive feedback that we get, even from hotel managers in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, as I say, we have so much to get to on today's program. We're seeing a fading fake president. Now, there's a lot of very powerful people working behind the scenes, Barack Obama in particular. And they're still working fast to change as much as they can, to hurry, in fact. You almost get the sense that they know their days are numbered. And so all these executive actions. This is from my father's piece. What will happen after Donald Trump regains power? He says about the fake presidency. President Biden has rapidly signed executive orders and to not only undo what President Trump did, but to blot out America's history and traditions and biblical foundations as quickly as possible. They want to blot it out. 2 Kings 14. I'll take you through a couple of those verses in just a moment. But only God could save Israel. We've talked about Donald Trump and his role, of course. But it's God. It's God who will intervene. There was a ruling yesterday in that Georgia court. You'll recall about a month ago, it was delayed for 4 or 5 weeks. And Judge, what's his name? Sparrow, maybe? It's probably mentioned in this piece. But this is from Just the News. It says, in an order handed down by a Georgia judge today, or an order, it named several individual members of a county elections board as respondents in an election-related lawsuit, clearing the way for an intensive audit of 2020 absentee ballots in Georgia's largest county. Now, that's the significance of this ruling yesterday. It clears the way for the audit to go forward. Now, as with just about anything in courts of law, it takes time for these things to roll out. And it looks like there's going to be another month. But it's interesting, the way that this is being covered by the propaganda media, they're saying that basically the judge threw it out. They're lying. They're out there, they're spewing their propaganda. It reminds me in a lot of ways of Ralph Helge and some of the attorneys that represented the Worldwide Church of God during our 6-year battle over Mystery of the Ages. And how many times Helge and others would say, oh, they lost. There's no more hope for the Philadelphia Church of God. All that they have left is to stand before a judge and to pay damages to the Worldwide Church of God. They liked to intimidate. Satan loves to intimidate. He loves for people to think that, oh, well, it's all over. No need to fight on. Just throw in the towel. Just give up. Just surrender. And there's people that are fighting in Georgia, and of course they're fighting in Arizona. I'll get to the way the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported on this. It says here, Superior Court Judge Brian Amaro, there's his name, in a Thursday ruling, dismissed several claims brought against governmental entities of Fulton County on sovereign immunity grounds, but he allowed the five members of Fulton County's Board of Registration and Elections to be named in the suit. So they can't go after the governmental organizations, but they can go after these five. They can be named in the suit. In other words, the lawsuit can go forward. The judge is just laying out the parameters for how this is going to play out. It says sovereign immunity is a legal doctrine that holds that governmental parties are protected from many and most forms of lawsuits. In Amaro's ruling, he notes that Georgia law stipulates that no suit alleging violations of due process or equal protection rights under the Georgia Constitution that seek declaratory or injunctive relief may be initiated against either the state or county, barring a waiver from the state legislature. So here's some of the legalese. Bear with me. It says, yet even as he dismissed the government parties in the suit, Amaro subsequently moved to add the five members of Fulton's elections board as parties pursuant to a request from the petitioners in the case. It says here, Bob Cheely, an Atlanta area lawyer serving as the lead attorney for two of the petitioners, told Just the News that the filing will help the complainants get an audit and get to the truth, and that the audit will move forward following the decision. So we've got an audit nearing completion in Arizona, and we've got one that's just about to start in Georgia. And when the truth emerges from Arizona, what kind of momentum do you suppose it will give these officials, these judges, these lawyers fighting for the truth in Georgia and then going beyond Georgia to Pennsylvania, to Michigan, to Wisconsin? The Australia Associated Press gives some of the same details. Georgia ballot lawsuit can proceed. Now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution gives the impression that he threw out the case. It's right there on the front page. But notice, and this is still left-wing, I'm sure, Australia's version of the Associated Press, but it gives some of the details that I just gave to you from Just the News, and it says at the end of the article, the lawsuit also repeats a widely circulated claim of fraud based on security video that shows cases of ballots being pulled from under a skirted table and counted while observers in the news media weren't present. And then the final line of the Associated Press in Australia, the final line, it says, there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud stemming from the November 2020 U.S. election. So they give you their conclusion before the ballots have even been examined. Before this even gets rolling. We're at the start of the process, the full forensic audit, at least on these 147,000 absentee ballots. And there's the Associated Press to tell you there's no evidence. There's just no what they're about to do is to examine the evidence. Why don't we wait and see what they find? They dismiss it before it even gets started. It's the same spirit that they had on November 4th, November 5th and 6th. And then the propaganda media, they anoint the fake president on November 7th. And everyone's just supposed to play along. The whole world is watching this fraud. They're watching this fake presidency. They're watching a president fading and fading fast. The passage in 2 Kings 14, what does it say? There's just no help. Only God. Only God, you see, can intervene to overturn this, to return what has been stolen, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It says, judge throws out most of case alleging counterfeit ballots in Fulton. And then the subtitle, that's the headline above the fold. The subtitle says, despite judge's ruling, plaintiffs in the case said they will continue to pursue ballot review. Well, can't even understand why they would go forward. Why would they continue to pursue a ballot review? I can't wait to hear how Rachel Maddow responds to this. Who do they think? We need the DOJ. We need the DOJ to shut it down. The judge has already thrown it out. They can't go forward, can they? They can't go forward and actually examine ballots. And that's what's happening. We're about to see a lot of heads exploding, just like it was when they first started the Arizona audit. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be exposed. I imagine those five election officials that can now be named in the case, I would imagine they're getting a little bit worried right about now. You pull those ballots out of the warehouse and examine them, and what happens to those who cheat and who steal? You know, I want to say that they're going to go off to jail or to prison, but I thought that about all of those crooks that were involved in the Mueller investigation as well. Nothing's happened. Where is the Durham report, by the way? I guess it just disappeared. It disappeared like they hoped so many of those fake ballots would, that they'd just disappear and people would just move on. He's already won. It's already been 5-6 months. We just have to go forward and worry about the next election, I guess. Well, the Democrats, the radicals in the Democrat Party, they're certainly, they want you to forget about the past, and then they're thinking already about the next elections. This is in the same newspaper, breaking just today, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Feds sue Georgia over new voting laws. So they don't like the voting laws, which aren't even as strict as they are in Delaware. The fake president's home state. They don't like it. These laws that say, you know, you really need to prove who you are if you're voting. They don't like these new laws. So here comes the DOJ springing to action. Trying to do everything that they can. They couldn't get the legislation to pass through the Senate. So here's the DOJ suing Georgia. Trying to get these new laws blotted out. So that they can cheat again in 2022, 2024. It says here, Attorney General Merrick Garland Friday announced that the department will file a federal lawsuit seeking to overturn portions of Senate Bill 202, which imposes new voter identification requirements, limits the use of ballot drop boxes, and includes other requirements that critics say will disproportionately affect minority voters. That's racism. It's racism, these laws that say anyone of all color should be able to vote on election day and prove that they are who they say they are. That's pretty simple and straightforward. But they just lie. They lie about the voter laws. They lie about people going without snacks. They lie about people dying of thirst, standing in line on election day. They just lie. They lie and lie and lie because they want to cheat. And the cheating is being exposed. President Trump pointed this out last night on Newsmax. This is clip 9.
Had a big victory yesterday in court, as you probably heard and
are
reporting.
Yep.
Georgia, that was a big victory. And Arizona is going. Those senators are great, great patriots. I'll tell you, Karen Fann and Borelli and all of these senators, they are great patriots, and they'll be recognized as such, what they're doing with the forensic audit. And it's starting now in Pennsylvania. You have some great senators up there. It's starting in Wisconsin. I think the people running the Senate in Michigan, they'll be overthrown.
So he's saying state by state, there are some, not nearly enough, but there are some who are fighting for what's right, who are fighting for what's true, who are fighting for the truth. And it is a fight. And my father brings this out when going through that that prophecy in 2 Kings 14 about warring to recover what was stolen. I'll leave it to you to go through those verses, 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27. But then verse 28, and I'll quote from the latest Royal Vision. This is where my father wrote the piece. He says, verse 28 indicates a pause in President Trump's hold on power. how he warred and recovered Damascus and Hamath refers to him fighting in some way to reclaim his stolen election and not by being voted back in at a future election. So he fights to reclaim it, to reclaim what was stolen. As I said a moment ago, it's something that the whole world is witnessing. They see it. They're watching. They've seen the fraud. They saw the steal, how that the communists successfully pulled that off. And then now they see this fake president fading fast. They know Barack Obama's behind it all. It is a war. And listen, the way that they're going after the January 6th protesters, the way they're going after Rudy Giuliani, it just shows they know. They know they're being exposed. And so they're doing everything that they can to silence Rudy Giuliani, perhaps the most famous and I will say patriotic mayor in American history. The way he stood up for the United States after 9/11. America's mayor. And yesterday you have these Marxist radicals who are taking away his lawyer's license. He can't even practice as an attorney in New York now. In New York! This is from the New York Times. Rudy Giuliani, a former top federal prosecutor, New York City mayor, and lawyer to a president, faces the possibility of disbarment after a New York court ruled on Thursday that he made demonstrably false and misleading statements while fighting the results of the 2020 election. So he's going to be blotted out because he fought against the results of the 2020 election, which is what Barack Obama and all of his supporters did for 4 years, fighting the result of the 2016 election and coming up with all of the lies in the dossier and using the Mueller investigation, not to try to seek the truth, as my father has explained, but to try to cover up, the coup. For 4 years, it continues, the attack. It's a war, isn't it? And the enemy is from within. America is under attack, as my father wrote in 2013. It is under attack, and the attack is from within. And Bible prophecy says it's coming from without as well. Look at how this is weakening the United States. Sickness from head to toe. Here's Rudy Giuliani, an attorney representing the president of the... Donald Trump, say what you want about him as a man or his tweets or whatever. He was a sitting U.S. president for a full term. And this is the way they go after an attorney who represents him. We've already seen this, haven't we? With Flynn, with Cohen, with all of them. Manafort, all of them. You work for this particular man, and they will come after you to destroy you, to blot you out. And so here's the New York Times. Gleefully reporting, yeah, he had his license taken away. It's about time. It says here, the New York State Appellate Court temporarily suspended Mr. Giuliani's law license on the recommendation of a disciplinary committee after finding he had sought to mislead judges, lawmakers, and the public as he helped shepherd Mr. Trump's legal challenge to the election results. So who is misleading who here? It says, for months, Giuliani, who served as Mr. Trump's personal lawyer, had argued without merit that the vote had been rife with fraud. See, no evidence. He argued without... You can't even argue this. You cannot examine the ballots. That's the way they think. You cannot argue this. You cannot represent a president and actually say, there was some cheating going on there. Not unless you're a Democrat. Stacey Abrams did it. She still maintains that she won. They have no problem with that. I'm sure she has an attorney, Stacey Abrams. Should that attorney be disbarred? Doesn't happen on that side, does it? It's just if you're in any way associated with Donald Trump, you are a target. It says here, the court said that Giuliani's actions represented an immediate threat to the public and that he had directly inflamed the tensions that led to the Capitol riot in So here we go again to the Capitol riot. Nancy Pelosi, just yesterday, lied again about all the people that supposedly died. The only one that died as a result of violence on that day was the veteran, Ashley Babbitt, shot dead by a Capitol Hill police officer. We still don't know who that is, but the fake, false narrative continues. Here they're blaming Giuliani for inciting the January 6th protests, even as all of these riots incited. You had Maxine Waters. I think she went to Minneapolis. She went to one of the cities where the rioting was last summer. She's a congresswoman. And she's out there on the streets, the same woman that was telling people, you get in their faces, you go after them. I mean, we've played the montages for you before. Nancy Pelosi, for her part, I just don't understand why there's not uprisings all over the place. No problem. She'll retain her position. She'll retain all of her licenses. She can do whatever she wants. During COVID, they can break the rules. Matt, speaking of breaking the rules, the COVID rules, Matt Hancock, he's the health secretary in the United Kingdom. He's the one that's behind all of the lockdowns. And you remember last year, Neil Ferguson, he was the one that said millions and millions are going to die in the U.S. and Britain. He was the one that came out with all the charts. Never did happen, not the way he said. A total fraud. And then we find out last year he was violating the lockdown measures by having an affair with some woman across the city of London. He didn't stay locked down, not when he was with that woman. Now we find out Matt Hancock, he too, a family man, having an affair with a family woman. And now apologizing because, yeah, those lockdown measures, I guess I did break the rules as well. You want to listen to what he said? You guys know where that clip is. I think it might be 11. But you want to listen to what he said in response to what happened to Neil Ferguson? Neil Ferguson, now, when he was exposed as an adulterous fraud, then he had to step down from his position in the government. And here's how Matt Hancock responded to that last November.
Has Neil Ferguson been fined by the police for breaking lockdown rules? And if not, why not?
But clearly, the social distancing rules are there for everyone. And they're incredibly important and they're deadly serious.
Should he be prosecuted?
Well, that you can imagine what my views are, but that is absolutely a matter.
I can't imagine. Tell me.
It's a matter for the police, but I think he took the right decision to resign.
Well, you said you read it in the papers. I mean, what did you think when you read it? Did you bang your head on the desk?
Well, it's just, it's extraordinary. And you know, I don't understand.
Sounds speechless.
I am. I think that he took the right decision.
You wouldn't have
to resign. That
yeah,
is.
You wouldn't have fought to keep him.
It's just not. That's just not possible in these circumstances.
Final thought, just before we move on to the next question. I mean, one of his defences was that he'd already had COVID,
yes.
Like you.
Yes.
So as a result, it's okay to social distance.
I asked exactly that question of the chief medical officer. Can I behave differently because I've now had it? Do I still have to do the social distancing? And the answer was very clear, which is yes, we all have to abide by social distancing.
Can he have his job back?
Everybody's got to follow the social distancing rules.
Everybody's got to follow the rules, said Matt Hancock. And now, this is what, according to the Times, one source said, this is in November 2020, the Times had a feature on Hancock's paramour, Gina Colangelo. So, and this is before anyone knew about the fact that they were both having an affair together. So they wrote about this woman. One source said, before Matt does anything big, he'll speak to Gina. She knows everything. Another added, she has access to lots of confidential information. Says Hancock is one of the most powerful officials in government and a member of the quad of cabinet ministers who determine COVID-19 policy. Some even credit him with persuading the prime minister to return to a second lockdown. That was in November. The Times reporting that in November. Now we know the two of them were having an affair. So here's this woman probably pulling the strings, and this man with all of this power and then the influence on Boris Johnson. There's a spirit behind all of this. And in case you didn't know, or in case you haven't heard, if you've followed us, if you've read our material, you do know the spirit. It's a spirit to blot out Israel. And look, these guilty parties, they fear exposure. They fear exposure. Well, I guess in the case of sex sins, people, you know, generally dust off after those and just move on. Nothing really happens. This is from Downing Street this morning. Boris Johnson has accepted Matt Hancock's apology for breaking social distancing rules and considers the matter closed. Well, he's got some skeletons in his closet, too. And so many of these leaders in Israel today, their lives, their individual, their private lives are just an absolute mess. And so he apologizes. Nobody's going to get fired. We'll just continue on in the lockdown. Let him get away with whatever he needs to get away with. Let him violate the rules. He's the health secretary. And then you look at what's happening over here in the United States. This kind of hypocrisy, these kinds of double standards, they're on display every day, every single day. It's quite a war. It's quite a war. 2 Kings, let me just read, since I've paraphrased bits of it already to you. 2 Kings 14, and we'll start in verse 26, just to see, as my father says in the article, it's history, but it's also prophecy. It's also prophecy. This is from the article, a key passage illuminating these events. 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27. History that is also prophecy. History that is also prophecy. Here's what it says, verse 26. It says, for the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. There's just no help. There's no one. It's all like Isaiah 3 says. All of the leaders have just been taken away. Well, God does draw attention to a Jeroboam leader in this end time. And it says, verse 27, and the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And then it says in verse 28, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might and how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath and so on. It's a war to recover what's been taken away, what's been stolen. It's a fight. And of course, there's lessons for us in the spiritual sense that we've got to fight for the truth, and we're going to have to show some courage to stand up for what's right in these evil times, where you're made a prey, a target, if you're seeking truth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, let us know what you think. Don't forget to tell us about how you listen, where you listen from, when you listen. Just write us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
As we've been going through Colossians 3 and 4 this week, it's just made me think about how closely it connects to, well, not only the end of what's there in the book of Ephesians, but also in Romans, the book of Romans, and in particular chapter 6, this point that Paul makes about how that, you know, you used to live in this evil and filthy lifestyle or way, and yet you as God's people, God's family, you've come out of that. You've come out of that, and you're living according to the laws and the ways of God now. That's the way of a true Christian, coming into God's family, God's church, repenting of those past sins, and then fighting with God's help, fighting against sin for the rest of your physical life, overcoming, conquering those sins, shunning the evil and the filth. Notice what Paul has to say, the Apostle Paul here in Romans 6 and verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, God is a God of grace and mercy. So shouldn't we just keep living our sinful ways of life? Because grace covers all, so that grace may abound? What is Paul getting at here? Verse 2 says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" I mean, this could not be any more clear. When seeking forgiveness from God, we must stop sinning. We tell God, "That's it. That's it with my old ways." Now, a Christian out of weakness, as Mr. Armstrong explained, may stumble and fall back into some of those old habits. As the saying goes, old habits die hard. It's difficult. It's a fight. Just like I was saying in the first segment, we have an adversary. He has a demon army, and he wants to devour us. It says in 1 Peter that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for the weaker ones. He's looking for the ones that really don't stay strong and right in the middle of the herd. But they wander off. They're in the outskirts. They're vulnerable. They may not think that they are, but that roaring lion, it's going about seeking for the weak and faithless ones so that he can devour them. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Of course we're to come out of sin. And then verse 3 says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" we die with Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, we're crucified with Christ. The old man is buried at baptism. That's the symbolism there. When you go under the water, completely underneath it. And then what comes out is a new man, a new woman. Verse 4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him at baptism, or by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we're buried with him. God views our baptism as an actual burial, the death of the old man, as I say. And coming out of that watery grave is a very type of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Christ begins to live in our lives and minds through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Someone who's just been baptized then has the hands of the minister of Christ laid upon him. And then the prayer of faith, the anointing, the receipt of God's Holy Spirit. That minister asking God to give a portion of his spirit to this new convert. That divine nature, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, I think it is, God's nature, his character. Verse 5, it says here, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism is symbolic of both a death and a resurrection. When we go under, we die as Christ died. And when we come up, we live as Christ lives. I touched on the point of being a servant or a slave of Christ on yesterday's show. Being a slave of Jesus Christ, being married, serving God and his Son for the rest of our lives, for all eternity. And God and his Son just wanting to give everything to us. What a relationship. What an opportunity. At times, like my father said, if you're setting your affection on it the way that you should, at times it brings tears to your eyes. Verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Whenever I'm going through baptism counseling with some of the young people here at God's College, I'll just emphasize the language even that Paul uses here. He uses the word crucified, and again, you know about Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. It says that our old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. God wants us to destroy it. Satan wants us to just maybe bury half of it, but you know, go ahead and keep living in sin. It's no problem. The sins of the flesh, all of the filthiness. If it rubs off on you, you can still kind of lead a double life. You can be a hypocrite. You can live one way and then come to services every week and pretend that you're something you're not. That's hypocrisy. And Jesus said that we ought to avoid that deadly leaven of hypocrisy. Paul says, come out of this world and all of its evil ways. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. Come out, and then if we come out of the world and into God's church, well, we become family, children of God. God, our Father. Verse 7, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you're dead to sin, that means you don't do it anymore. That means we don't walk in those steps anymore. We've been freed from sin. Some people think that being in a church or any church, you're free to sin. And God's grace will still cover it all. Well, that sacrifice indeed covers all of the sins of our past, for sure. It takes the sacrifice of a God being, in fact, to pay for everyone. But it's upon repentance, a willingness to change, to make changes, to be an overcomer. verse 8, it says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If we're dead with him, then we also believe we're going to live anew. Now read sometime later, read 1 John 4 and verses 1 and 2 about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, living in our lives, living in our minds. Let me read to you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation. He says, God's purpose in salvation is to rescue men from sin and its resulting unhappiness, misery, and death. To repent of sin is the first step. Then the blood of Christ, upon acceptance and faith, cleanses of all past sins. It says, and by faith we are kept from sin in the future. Now you can see this brought out in Matthew 19, that example where the young man walked away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to give up worldliness and materialism. And his disciples marveled because he had so many other strengths. At least it looked like it. His disciples said, well, who then is going to be saved if this man doesn't qualify? And Christ's response was that with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's what Mr. Armstrong's talking about here. At baptism, after the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, then you go forward in faith, and it's the faith of Christ that keeps you from sin in the future. It says, thus the resulting righteousness is of faith, the righteousness imparted from God. Mr. Armstrong says, we are not justified by the law. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But this justification will be given only on condition that we repent of our transgressions of God's law. And so it is, after all, he writes, only the doers of the law that shall be justified. He says, how plain and how beautiful is God's truth. And yet there's so many in the world of traditional Christianity that just want to do away with the law. And that's why Paul, over and again in this book, the book of Romans, he has to qualify what he's saying, because there were Simon Magus ministers out there saying, no law, no problem. They turned grace, as it says in Jude 3. They turned the grace of God into a license to disobey law. How plain is the truth of God? Paul starts his chapter here and he says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are dead to sin. We have been crucified with Christ. Go forward in faith. Obey God in faith. That's the plain teaching of passages like this, Romans chapter 6, and others. I'll have to continue our study. In fact, maybe this will give you a little bit of incentive to view the weekend edition on Sunday, as I'll continue through with our study of Romans chapter 6. I just wanted to leave a few minutes today for some emails that have been piling up. So we'll take a short break and then come back and conclude today's show with feedback from you, the listener. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Is marriage on the way out? Is the institution of the home, with its family life, to disappear from society? How and when did the institution of marriage originate? Does it, after all, serve any necessary purpose? Why Marriage, Soon Obsolete, takes an in-depth look at the institutions of marriage, the home and family life, and reveals a startling, even shocking truth, which has been altogether overlooked by science, by religion, by education, and by society. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
few emails coming in from listeners and viewers. This one here says, as we watch the Trump a Daily, the vaccine is killing people. My wife brought up a good point. She reminded me that during the whole COVID process, which is now over a year and a half, we rarely heard of anyone actually having COVID other than from watching the news. Well, I mean, be assured, a lot of people did get it, and certainly there were a number of them around here in Edmond. But the point that he's making is that, at least in his area, he is well aware of people that have had complications come about because of the vaccine. That's the point that he makes. Another one here says, thank you for your courageous service to the world with your program. I wish your program could reach every American each day. I push this program to all of my friends and family, and I post as much of it as I can on social media. It says your portrayal of Barack Obama is spot on. Another one says, excellent program today. So many inspirational, insightful points that you made have caused me to delve more intensely into my Bible. Thank you and your staff for putting together such a magnificent show. Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight. You will undoubtedly be richly rewarded. A nice comment there. Another one here says, I appreciate the Trump a Daily as well as the informative emails I get from you about current events and how they are fulfilling biblical prophecy. This is someone responding or saying thanks for the trumpet briefs that we send out all through the week as well. Thank you for producing all this good information that helps me to understand the scary times that we're living in. I also want to comment that it seems to me that Anthony Fauci should lose his medical license since he has been working with the CCP and developing a deadly virus. Well, that's a good point. He keeps his license and Rudy Giuliani loses his. That's the way it works. That's the way it works under communist rule. Fauci is still a celebrity. Fauci is still practicing medicine, I guess if you could even call it that. He's been a government bureaucrat for decades. And a bad one at that. Highly overpaid, by the way. He retains his license and he's working with the CCP to develop the virus that he now says we have to have the vaccine for. You just have to have it. This one comes from the UK. It says, I just needed to drop you a line to say a big thank you for all the news and literature that I have been blessed to receive from you. I've been following your organization since I came across Herbert W. Armstrong many years ago. And I know that God was pointing me into the right direction, to you and to the truth. It says, and you are the truth and my spiritual food daily. So a real big thank you to all of your staff for the efforts that they put in. Now, please accept my apology. I don't mean to offend, but would it be possible, it says, would it be possible to purchase one of the Trumpet Daily mugs? And how do I go about it? I'd like to feel that I'm drinking the truth from the mug each day. So this comes from the UK, and we have contacted this viewer to see if he can get this shipped over to the UK. Someone's making arrangements for that right now. So some great feedback from our viewers and some more interest in the TD mug. I forget the name. It's the Reflections bookstore. We've got to have that on my notes every time. But anyway, for those of you that are living in the United States, if you would like to order the mug, you can go to our college bookstore website. I think it's called reflections.com or .org, something like that. Anyway, you can hunt around for it on Google. If you'd like to order the Trumpet Daily coffee mug, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're putting the finishing touches on yet another broadcast. Can't believe it's the end of the week. Don't forget about the weekend edition that's posted on Sunday. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.